Okay. I always imagine if you're a guest walking into this, and I do want to apologize that I know that it feels like you walked into somebody else's event, and I want you to know that you are part of this. Even if you weren't able to go, there's no like classes, like uprising class versus the people that weren't able to go for whatever reason. What we want to do is bring that same spirit back to you. We believe that God wins whenever men step forward and lead their houses and lead lead God's house the way that we're supposed to. And our theme was, we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, and that all of us are in a trial by fire. When it says that our God is a consuming fire, He consumes everything in our lives that's keeping us from being what He's called us to be. And so we ask them to allow God to consume some of the things that are keeping them from being the man, the husband, the father, the person that owns a company, that's running it in a godly way with godly character. And so as God stripped away those things, we got to see amazing stories come to fruition. And I want to invite you, if you are a man sitting in this room, our church specializes in calling men to be the men that God wants them to be, and to step forward and to lead the way that God intends for them to lead. And so maybe you will hear some of these stories today and allow it to challenge you. And I hope that we're going to see the fruits of this uprising. And, you know, it's probably recency bias, but from all the ones that have been here a while, this was our best uprising that we've ever had. We've never sold out an event and had to have a waiting list because the church that we meet at in Broken Bow, they only hold 300. And we had 325, and they said in their church's entire existence that they had never put out all the chairs. And that's how many we're taking from our church to this other church. And so they were so excited, and they celebrate up there on Sunday with their church all the blessings that our conference brings to their church. That's how awesome it is. And so today I've asked Pastor Corey and one of our facilitators, Aiden, and Pastor Mark to share some of those stories. Because at Genesis Metro, we measure success by life change in response to God's word. And by any measure, this brotherhood uprising was successful because we saw life change in response to God's word. So at this time, would you guys welcome Pastor Corey? Pastor Corey, would you share it for us?
Good morning, everyone. It is an absolute pleasure to get this opportunity to come before you and share about this year's uprising. It's an honor because 12 years ago, I experienced my first uprising, and it drastically changed the trajectory of the story for myself, for my marriage, and for my kids. And so now to get to sit in the opportunity to help other men change their stories is a blessing beyond blessings, because we get to recount them on this side. But on the other side, these are the stories that we will celebrate for all of eternity and give God the glory for. And so I wanted today to take a single element that you saw in the bumper there and really kind of unpack that. Like, how does this church even do this stuff? Like, where does this stuff come from, right? So from conception to completion, I just wanted to share the story of the box. And so it all begins months ago or weeks ago when we start planning uprising, right? And we get this team right here in a room, and our pastor, our visionary, he has a text, a scripture that God has given him that has inspired. He's like, this is it. This is what our men need to hear. And then he says the three most dangerous words you will ever hear your pastor say: I have an idea. You see, every year there's something that our teams have to take from Frisco all the way to wherever we're at. Man, in the past, we've had these battle axes. We've had staffs and chalices. Sometimes these like charcoal-bodied men that you've got to lug around. But this year, it was a box. A box. And we got there because every year when we get into this this collaborative, creative session, it starts in one point. You see, here at Genesis Metro, we begin with the Word of God. And so when the pastor brought scripture this year, he brought Hebrews 12:1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight, the hindrances, and the sin that so easily ensnares, and let us run the race set before us." And so when it says that, it's like, okay, they're carrying something, they gotta lay down. It's gotta be the box. It's the box. And so we're like, okay, they're gonna carry a box with them this whole time. They're gonna pick it up at Frisco. And there's gonna be three rules. One, it's gotta be with the team at all times. Two, it can never set on the ground. And three, the whole trip, from when you pick it up to the, it's going to be a receptacle, a thing that catches everything that is weighing you down. The sins that are entangling you, all the burdens you are carrying, the things you need to give up, because ultimately, at the end of this week, we're gonna give those things to the Lord. And so then the guys show up and the chronicle of the boxes begins, because it's gotta be with them anywhere. We have a list that we call a shenanigans list, where these guys have to go and do dumb things with each other with the boxes. See the red team there? I don't even know what they're doing, but it was on the list. And the box was there. Plan is working. So they're doing all of these dumb things, but then what you see is like there's this interest that is piqued with strangers, and they got extra points if strangers interacted. But anywhere they would go, right? This box is something like, why are you carrying that box? It piqued their interest and it started drawing people into them. And anywhere the guys went, the waiters, waitresses, they would come over. When we went out to eat, the manager came up and was like, "I just gotta ask, what's in the box?" And it got me thinking. I was like, why are people? I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Because if you look at that box and you don't know what's going on, you see all guys wearing same color shirts carrying this box, you're like, okay, they're either prepping for doomsday, or there's something alive in there. You got like a chinchilla in there? You got a snake? What is happening? But what it did is it created these conversations that our teams got to have with these strangers, these random strangers from here to Broken Bow. But not only that, it created opportunities for our team to minister to people. They would get these people and they said, "Do you have something you want to put in the box?" Yeah, I'm carrying something. I want to put it in the box. And then they would pray over them. There was an awesome story of where one of our teams met a man at a gas station. He said, I have something I want to put in that box, but I can't write it down. And so our team wrote it down. He said, "My daughter's getting married, and I want them to dedicate their marriage to God." So our team put that in there, put it in, and then prayed for that man. Do you know how good uprising is? That random strangers get blessed because our men are obedient to chase after God? And throughout the weekend, our men were challenged to reflect on their own lives and think about the things that are holding them down, the weights that they're carrying, the sins that are entangling them, but to confess it, to write it down, put it in the box, pray over it. Let this weekend be different. And then they had to keep going throughout the weekend with this thing. So then we got to breakouts. The box had to be there. Free time. These guys get free time in the afternoon. Can you imagine trying to bowl while holding a box? They were one-arming putt-putt shots out there. But even still, we saw the same overflow of blessings on others. Yellow team were out hiking a trail with their box, and strangers continuing to put the burdens, the weights that they carry in there. But then we get to Friday night, our big event. And there's a path that you saw that the men walk, and our leaders, each one, pour in to every man as he walks the path that is set before him. It makes him confront the things. What are the things holding you back from you being the man you have to be for your family? What are the things holding you back from being what we need you to be, to lock arms with us in this church and be part of this brotherhood? But most importantly, to be the man you need to be, to bend the knee to King Jesus. And they walked through one by one, each man being poured into by his leaders. And then the leaders went and they took the box carrying the burden, the weight the sin, the grief, the addictions, the fears, everything that our men had put into those boxes, and they passed through those flaming doors to an altar where the team gathered around and then took that box and set it on fire. And it was the most beautiful blaze that you could see, 30 of these fires just engulfing these boxes. And every single one of those things that was inside of there, all of those burdens, the heaviness, the addictions, the fears, gone. Because what our men brought into that weekend, they would not leave with. However, something remained. You see, unbeknownst to our men the whole time, they were on the path with that box. The whole time they were at free time with that box. The whole time they were in breakouts with that box. The whole time they were on the trip. The whole time they were with strangers. The whole time they were doing shenanigans. The whole time what had been in that box was the Word of God. And that night, that part of uprising ended with the Word of God. Because at Genesis Metro, we begin with the Word of God because we know we will always end with the Word of God. And we do these creative things because we're trying to make this come alive to you. We want to create this experience in the physical because it represents what's actually happening in the physical. They lugged this box around the same way they lugged the weights of this world around that they don't have to carry. To teach them a lesson, you can lay it at Jesus. Because we begin with the Word, we end with the Word, because everything was consumed except one thing, the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only thing that will remain. So church, if you're walking in and you're like, what in the world is happening here? It's on purpose. Our God is not random and things do not happen by accident. But if this resonates with you, if you've been carrying something, if you're walking in here heavy and it's been with you in all the rooms you've ever entered and all the conversations you've ever had, it just sits like a shadow and you're wondering if there's freedom, I hope today that the story you hear of uprising over here from the men telling, from my brothers who are about to speak, that you would know that freedom is present in Jesus. And you will find that freedom as you leave today. This word, it wasn't just for our men, it's for everyone. This word is here for you. And I pray that when you get that word, you realize that that freedom, it's not in letting go, but it's in coming to understand that our God has been right here by your side the whole time. And for an even more beautiful picture of what happened, I'm going to invite my brother Aiden Kilbane.
So first, I just want to thank Pastor Tim, all the facilitators who paved the way for me to be able to come up here and share a success story, a story of life change that occurred that I had a firsthand experience to see a grown man break down because of the life change that he experienced from God and be able to translate that to his family and to his brotherhood. And so this story is all about a man named Cesar Cruz. And Cesar Cruz was in my group. We were read to. And I did not know much about this man, but his story is incredible. It all starts with his daughter coming to Fuse last year during the Fuse camp. And when she was there, she experienced life change. She experienced God in a way that she's never experienced before. And so she dedicated her life to Christ and was baptized there. And when she came back, yeah, we can give it up for God. Come on. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when she came back, she was different. She was no longer going to be the same that she was before. She threw off her old self, and she was dedicated to the new life that she's committed to Christ. And so when she comes back, she sees her dad. And when she sees her dad, she says, "Dad, I've experienced so much, and now it's your turn. The next time that we have an uprising, I want you to go." And he promised her. He's like, okay, you know what, I'll go. So some time comes along, it's months later. And of course, as every guy does. If it's not in our calendar, we forget it. It's completely gone. It doesn't exist. But God was looking out for him, and we had our uprising worship night. And if you were there, the Spirit was moving. And when Caesar was there, he felt the Spirit moving. So that night, he signed up for uprising, not knowing what's going to happen and not knowing who he's with. And at this time, we are weeks away. And so our group has already met. We've already spent all this time together. So, of course, it takes a little bit of courage to be saying, you know what, let's get uncomfortable. Let's join up in a group I have no idea who's in. And let me go ahead and commit myself to this experience. And so now we've kind of fast-forwarded up to Uprising Week, right? It's Thursday. Everyone's finding some cars to get into, and they're heading up to Broken Bow. And I can tell you, if anything, the shenanigans list that we have placed for these gentlemen will make you uncomfortable and push you way past the awkward phase. You've got a guy who doesn't know anyone here, and they're asking you to do things you've never heard of. Talk to random strangers, ask people questions that you would usually avoid, right? But this man went into it with an open heart. Now, I know a lot of these crazy events that we do seem outrageous, but there's always a purpose. We're just looking to break down your walls so that you have a vulnerability to what God's got coming. And what his heart was so on fire for what was happening. This man, full head of hair, which I'm so jealous of, went ahead and just razored it all off. And I'm telling you, when you go from having hair to no hair and you're committing, you're saying that's you, that's commitment. I don't know about you, but that's commitment. And so from this point on, his heart is already locked in. He's committed his hair, he's committed his time, committed his energy. Now it's all about really finding that time to commit both his future to God. Because so far, he's experienced his change in his daughter, and now he wants to know what's going on. And so PT came up and brought the house down. I'm telling you, man, let's give a round of applause for PT. Absolutely. Absolutely. Every single night that we were there, there was just, the Spirit was in the room. And I'm telling you, whenever PT came up and gave up that altar call, if it wasn't for the brotherhood being that cloud of witnesses, being that support for him, then he would not have felt the need to go ahead and run up to the stage and be that first person to say, you know what, I'm dedicating my life to Christ because he gave it all for me and I want to give it all for him. Absolutely. And if you look on the screen, Caesar is the one on the bottom left in the red shirt with the black hat. And man, he was so on fire. He was in tears because he had seen all the life change in his daughter, and he had seen all the life change in the men around him, and he wanted to be a part of that brotherhood. And I'm telling you, this is the reason we do what we do. When you can see the life change a man experiences in a room full of brothers with all the faith in the room, man, what the Lord can do is incredible. And that man said, you know what, I'm dedicating my time, my energy, and my money, and everything I can so that anyone else in my family can experience this weekend that I've experienced. And it was not just the brotherhood for him, but it was the community of Fuse for his daughter. And that's the reason why the brotherhood in a community is so important. You need a group of men, you need a group of people around you that can share that weight, share that burden, that when you are feeling all alone, there's a reason why God says you need people around you. It's because that burden is not meant to be on you alone. We're not called to be isolated. We are called to find a community. And that's what this is all about. Now, this is an amazing story, but I'm telling you, it doesn't end there. Today, when Caesar came to first service, he was baptized and he dedicated his life to Christ. And he's showing everyone, I've got the jersey, right? But not only that, but he also said, I'm dedicating my future and I'm paving the way for the next man up so that whenever another person hears my story and they feel something stirring, that they can find a way to be close to God and give their life to God, because I know what he's done for me is something I can never pay back, but I want other men to experience this. And if you look, or if you came in and you saw the large metal sign brackets that we had outside, that's what this is all about, right? The next man up, the next guy who's coming in that doesn't know Christ, that doesn't know what he's done for him, that's who we're doing this for. We're doing it for the next person so they can see the light of Christ and know there's a difference, and all it takes is for that personal decision. And so you can see up on the screen, we have all these brackets of serving opportunities that we need you guys to sign up. While we were at Uprising, every single one of the guys there received a dog tag. And the dog tag had your name on it. And that name represented who you were. It was yourself. And you were saying, this is my identity and this is what I believe in. And as soon as we made the decision to walk up to these brackets, you could take off one of these dog tags and say, I'm committing myself to the next man up. I believe that giving myself or sacrificing myself for someone else in the kingdom is worth it because I know what God's done for me and I know what God's done for my family. And so after today, when you are walking out of this worship center, be praying. How can you commit yourself to the next man up? Because there is so much space. I know you see all the people in this room and you think, oh, they've got it covered. The answer is no, we always need more people. And so just be praying and put that on you. Like, how can I make a difference in the kingdom? How can I be the next man up? And I'm telling you, if you just ask and have a willing heart, we are going to use you in ways you can't even imagine. And now we're going to play a little bumper that's going to show you a little bit more about the impact and what that means to make that decision to be the next man up. And then after that, if you guys don't mind welcoming Pastor Mark to bring the house down. Thank you.
I hope you received the challenge today. I hope your heart was stirred today. I hope as you walk out those doors and you're not serving in any capacity, I hope you're convicted this morning to say, this church has served me. What can I do to serve the kingdom through this church? That's what we're here to do. So this was my first uprising as on this side of the lane, I guess. Who else was this your first uprising? Raise your hand. Yeah, give it up. Give it up. Hey, we survived. We made it to the other side. Were you a little worried? Did you think, yeah, I don't know, I might come back a little different? Well, I got news for you. We did. We came back, and now we're all here.
We're all here.
We're all here.
We're all here.
Let's go. My first uprising, man, it was so awesome. I saw things I've never seen before. I saw men crying. I saw men raise their hands in worship for the first time. I saw life transformation. For me, this journey began about a year ago because there's something unique about your pastor that I don't know if you know this or not, but my pastor, he loves Jesus. Did you know that? He loves the Lord, his God, with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he loves people. He loves people. He loves seeing life transformation in people. One of the promises of GM is that we will pay whatever price it takes to see life change. You know why that's a promise of GM? It's because it's a promise of your pastor. No cost spared. What's the value of a soul? It's infinitely valuable. It's worth the blood of Jesus. It means that we'll do everything we can. We'll spare no expense. We'll give all our time, energy, and resources to see life transformation happen. And Pastor Tim, a year ago, invited me to come sit with this team right here. He said, we had been talking about the possibility of my family and I moving here. And Pastor Tim said, you should just come up to Uprising. Just hang with these dudes for a little bit. Just see what's going on. He did that because he knew I was missing something in my life. He did it because even though I've been in ministry for 32 years, I've never had a brotherhood like this. I've never had men. I've never had men who had my back. I've never had a group of men that I could be with, that I could call, that I could text, that I could hang out with for hours on end, who I could spill my guts to, and they would understand without shame, but with support and restoration. So Pastor Tim invited me to come a year ago, and here we are. But this year, this year, I got to see what God does with a brotherhood. This year, I got to see men become vulnerable. You see, at the time, a year ago, I thought, well, this is pretty cute. It's an event for the men, right? This is your, Pastor Tim, this is your men's event? Yeah, this is our men's event, but you just need to wait and see what happens. Because it's not an event, it's a transformation. Events will inspire you, but uprising transforms you. You don't come and just get inspired. Now, there's some inspiration, but you leave a different person than you were when you came. It's because it is following through with a biblical mandate to come to Jesus for forgiveness of sins, but then to allow Jesus to be your King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw life transformation that happened across those 2 days, and I've seen life transformation continue to happen even 30 minutes ago. 30 minutes ago, two men who went to Uprising kneeled right here as the brotherhood surrounded them and they gave their hearts to Jesus. In the first service, there was a man who walked in the first time ever to this church. And he caught us outside and he said, I don't know why God brought me here, but God brought me here. He told me that I needed to come here, and I got exactly what I needed. And he said, I need a family. I need a brotherhood. So what do we do? I gathered whoever was around. I gathered the brotherhood, and Joshua hit his knees, and we surrounded him, and we prayed over him, because that's what brotherhood does. There's a verse of scripture I want to share with you. You know you've read it 100 times in James chapter 5. James 5, verse 16. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Everybody say healed.
Healed.
You see, we get confused sometimes. We love an independent Christianity. Well, we love our little personal walk with Jesus, and we say, well, only Jesus can forgive my sins. Listen, you are right. Amen? You are right. If you're under the sound of my voice and you're wondering what to do with the weight of the world that's on your shoulders and the sin that so easily entangles you, I got one word. His name is Jesus. You bow your knee and you confess him. He lived the perfect life. He suffered and died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the grave to pay the price for your sins and for my sins. And if you call on the name of Jesus for forgiveness of sins and trust him as Lord of your life will be transformed. You individually will be transformed and delivered and rescued. And you'll have a seat in heaven for all eternity, but you're still here because there's work to do. You get forgiveness from Jesus. But James says if you confess your sins to one another, you find healing. You see, this is where we get it wrong a lot of times. A lot of times we don't like to talk of our personal spirituality. We say things like, oh, that's just a private matter. It's personal. I don't like to talk about my faith. You ask any of these men about their faith, and they're going to tell you. You know why? Because your faith isn't a private personal matter. Your faith is a message to be echoed from the mountaintops. Your faith in Jesus Christ is the foundation of your home. Jesus is the cornerstone that you build everything upon. And yeah, people need to know about him. Yeah, this church exists to tell people about Jesus. It's not personal. It's not private. It is public. He's not the King of Kings just of your heart. He's the King of Kings of everything. Confess your sins to one another, and you will find healing. Look at the last sentence. Is the verse still up? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Forgiveness comes from God, but healing comes from the brotherhood. Now, healing comes when what happened this past weekend happens over and over again. I saw grown men stand before a group of men and confess their sins. Open up in vulnerability and say, this is what I'm struggling with. I hate that I'm struggling with it. And every time I think I've got it kicked, it always comes back and I'm tired of the struggle. But this is the first time I've told anybody about it. And they put their burdens in the box, but they told their brothers. And guess what happened at Uprising? Healing happened. Transformation happened. From the boxes to the shenanigans to worship to the preaching of Pastor Tim to the big event, everything was designed to draw men closer to God and closer to each other. Because real healing requires vulnerability, trust, and courage. Real healing requires those things. And those words describe this GM Brotherhood. This is what I saw this weekend. I saw vulnerability. I saw trust. Trust in Jesus and trust in each other. And I saw courage. Courage from men who weren't afraid to expose their shame to another group of men and then to lay it at the feet of Jesus. And you know what I didn't see at Uprising? I didn't see another brother shaming the brother who confessed his sins. That's exactly the opposite of what I saw. When I saw a man hit his knees and confess his sins to his brothers, I saw them wrap their arms around him. I saw them gather around him, put their hands on him, and pray with him. That's the healing. That's the healing that we need. We're here to change the world. We're all here. We're all here to change the world. Church, this is why we exist. We exist to see life transformation, not just in our homes, not just in our church, not just in our city, but to the ends of the earth. And it happens when godly men step up in vulnerability and trust and courage and be the man that God called them to be. You want to see your house transformed? You want to see your community transformed? Our world is in a terrible place, and I would say partly it's because men haven't stood up and been the righteous men of God that our culture and our country need. It's on us. But today, that changes. Those days are over. That's not going to happen on our watch. We're not going to watch our home go down in flames. We're not going to watch our church struggle for volunteers. We're not going to watch our community go down to the pits of hell because we're called and we're stepping up. We're stepping up. We're rising up to be the men that God has called us to become. Whatever else was gained at Uprising, so much life transformation. At the very least, every man walked away from Uprising with this thought: I know I'm not alone anymore. I know I'm not alone anymore. Listen, friends, if you isolate yourself, you'll never reach the potential that God has for you. Your faith is not meant to be led in private. Your spirituality is not meant to flourish in a lone ranger mentality. God designed you for community. He designed us to bear one another's burdens. These men from Uprising are going to show you how. Let's not settle for inspiration. Let's build brotherhood. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to celebrate right now because we got some men who are going to get baptized in just a few minutes. Can I throw the invitation open for anybody else? Listen, you didn't sign up. You didn't sign up for baptism. And you say, I want to publicly confess Jesus is my Savior, and I want to publicly demonstrate to my family and my church that I identify with Christ. Well, you're going to see these men line up here in just a minute who are going to get baptized. Just get up and go stand at the end of the line. Tell somebody your name, and we're going to baptize you. If you're getting baptized while I pray, please make your way out to the commons. Let's pray. So Jesus, We thank you. God, you're so good to us. You're so good to us. Who am I that you would stand by my side? Who am I? Who is my family that you would think of us? We're nobodies. We're struggling sinners, but God, you thought of me. When Jesus carried the cross to the hill of Calvary, he didn't have to, but he chose to. He said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord that I might take it up again. The writer of Hebrews says that it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the suffering of the cross. You know what Pastor Tim reminded us this week? He said the joy that was that held Jesus, the joy that convinced Jesus that the suffering of the cross was worth it, it's the joy of your salvation. It's the joy of you joining him and his family for all eternity. Literally, when Jesus was on that cross, he was thinking about you. He was thinking about you. You are the one. You, your salvation, your faith, your life, your glory in heaven forever. That's who Jesus was thinking about. That's what brought Jesus the ability to push through the suffering of the cross. Have you given your heart to him? He gave it all for you. Are you willing to give it to him? Father, we love you and we thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.